Good morning. I'm Cheryl Walker with the Times Republic, March 2024, and we will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, Two Candidates Answer Questions About the Iroquois County State's Attorney Race, by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The clubhouse at Shag Bark Country Club in Onondaga was filled March 7th as people gathered to hear from candidates from Iroquois County State's Attorney. There are two candidates vying in the March 19th Republican primary for state's attorney. Iroquois County Republican Women's Club hosted the event in Onondaga. Becky Sulligen and Mike Quillen answered questions about the state's attorney's race. Prior to the forum, the Women's Club members asked residents from around the county to send in questions for the candidates. The candidates then drew questions from a bowl. Each had a chance to answer. Quillen said he is currently the felony prosecutor in Iroquois County. He moved to Illinois in 1984, attending Loyola University of Chicago, graduating cum laude with a degree in history in 1989. He graduated from Southern Illinois University School of Law, graduating magna cum laude in 1991, and was fourth in his class. He obtained a judicial clerkship at the Illinois Appellate Court, 5th District, and worked 2 years there. He then became a prosecutor. He also was an adjutant instructor at SIU School of Law from 1993 to 96. He also published 4 law review articles, 2 on the Second Amendment, 1 on the First Amendment, and 1 on the Fifth Amendment. Having been a prosecutor my entire professional career, I'm having the opportunity to gain a tremendous amount of experience, he said, noting that he has tried more than 100 criminal trials. There's a photo of Beckley Sulligen and Mike Quillen included in the article. Sulligen said she is a licensed attorney born in Kankakee County. She attended Western Illinois University, majoring in political science. After graduating from WIU, she attended DePaul Law School at night to obtain her law degree. She started at the Kankakee County State's Attorney's Office and then was in private practice for a while. She said she has worked in a variety of areas of law, including appellate court, civil court, and family court. She currently works in Kankakee County State's Attorney's Office, where she is the Traffic Division Supervisor and handles all the serious traffic cases. She lives in Waseca and has lived in Iroquois County for about 5 years. I look forward to serving the community, she said. The first question was, can you explain your understanding of the current gun laws, including assault weapons, and what is your opinion? And would you change any of those laws? Quillen said there are 2 unconstitutional gun laws in Illinois. The FOIA card is unconstitutional. You can't precondition somebody's exercise of a constitutional right by requiring them to fill out a form, waiting, and then getting a state ID. The Fourth Circuit of Court of Appeals recently struck a similar law down in the state of Maryland. FOIA cards have a couple more years before eventually a challenge to that makes its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Assault weapon ban is also unconstitutional. We know from McDonnell and Howard, the first 2 U.S. Supreme Court decisions in which those cases involve the cities of Washington, D.C. and Chicago, and they are handgun bans. It's clear from those decisions that legislators are not free to pick out a category of firearms they don't like, demonize them, and then ban them in a class of firearms. Unfortunately, the Democrats in our state use the gun issue as their go-to scapegoat when bad things happen in big cities. They promise another round of gun laws will stop the mayhem, and of course it doesn't. So then they come back. More gun laws are what we need. Unfortunately, we know with all the gun laws on the books, it does nothing to stop what we see on the nightly news of the mayhem that has been taking place in Chicago for 50 years. Those 2 laws are clearly unconstitutional. Sulligen said he absolutely supports everyone. Second Amendment rights as a mother. I would really like to see us make an effort to support safe gun ownership. Most people who are lawful gun owners are fine, but we have a lot of parents who don't keep their guns safe. They're not locked up. We have kids having access to it. I support the gun laws, but I do also support safe gun ownership. and I think parents have to be responsible for their weapons. They should not have them out where kids can get them. Part of the great thing about our system is that as a prosecutor, you can choose not to prosecute laws you think will result in an unfair or unjust or inappropriate statute. Quillen said the Iroquois County Board passed a resolution opposing the assault weapons ban. He said it is not going to enforce the law, noting that it is unconstitutional. He said he has been a gun owner since he was 10 and shoots 10,000 rounds a year at some indoor ranges in Kankakee County. It gets no enforcement in Iroquois County, as simple as that, he said of the ban. Question number two was, how important do you believe in Iroquois County is when you are serving the people of Iroquois County? Soljan said she lives in Iroquois County. I do think it's important. That's my community. I have a vested interest in keeping people safe, prosecuting the people that need to be, and said nothing that the state's attorney's office does not have a residency requirement. She says she chooses to live in Iroquois County and pays taxes in the county, buys groceries, gasoline, and other items in the county. Quillen said he lives 18 miles from the Iroquois County border in Bradley. I don't live on another planet, he said. I choose to come to Iroquois County and work. Quillen and law enforcement and many others support him as a state's attorney. The residents of this county deserve to have the best, most qualified state's attorney in this county, and that's me, he said. Soljan said the office has more to it than just how many people have been prosecuted. I would be dedicated to try to find ways to improve our situation, the crime, the drug issues. I'm your neighbor, and I care about what happens. Question number three, what type of crime should have been more emphasis on rehabilitation and less on punishment? Quillen said drug offenses would be the answer, but there are some issues. He said in many counties he's worked in where a certain number of drug offenders who are provided free treatments and refuse. He says some defendants have 3 and 4 drug cases and still don't want treatment. A lot of success in treatment comes from people who are willing to get help. You can't force drug offenders to get the help at gunpoint. They won't do it unless their mind changes and decides to do it. He said he is for getting people help if they will do it, and there are programs available to those who want it. Soljan said she'd work on the drug court for a couple of years. Drug treatment is hard to get. That person's invested in doing, she said. There are treatment courts that make it work. She noted that Iroquois County doesn't have a lot of treatment facilities and that transportation can be an issue. She said drug abuse does not lead to other crimes, so working on the issues and thinking outside the box is going to be necessary. I've seen it work. I have, she said, but noting that sometimes incarceration is the only answer for some people. Question number four. What is your opinion on illegal immigrants being dropped off in various locations in Illinois? And what do you see is the responsibility of citizens of Illinois? Soljan said it isn't an issue, noting that Kankakee County has such an issue. We have to not allow it. I don't think illegal immigrants should be bused anywhere. I understand it is a very touchy subject and a complex issue. They need to stay where they are and until they are lawfully here. She said if she was state's attorney, she would work to see what can be done to penalize the bus company to make sure they know they can't just drop people off and fend for themselves. Quillen said there is no crime in the Illinois Criminal Code that could charge a bus driver who drove a group of people to the county. When it comes to the immigration issue, I think everybody in this room is probably tired of seeing individuals coming into our country illegally through the southern border. How to fix that? I think that question is better addressed to Joe Biden. Question number five. How much time and attention do you plan to devote to the county board issues, and do you plan on attending monthly board meetings? Quillen said he has already told county board members he would attend the meetings as part of the statutory duties. I have no problem with that, he said. Soljan said she would attend the meetings. I think they have to keep the lines of communication open. I would talk with the county clerk and the circuit clerk and make sure they know they could reach out to me if they have questions. The state's attorney is able to save the county a lot of money by handling everything in-house, and that is all possible. If you can't handle it, they have to hire an attorney, and that costs money. Question number 6. Can you explain how you would handle the Pretrial Release Act? Sojin said, There's certainly a lot of changing law with what we commonly call the Safety Act, but in the pretrial release, it did away with the bail bond. I can tell you what our office is doing is filing petition to detain on every single felony that qualifies under the statute. If it's on the list, we are going to file. A lot of time the judges say no, then we are asking that everybody be under pretrial conditions. So everybody in Kankakee County that is out is under pretrial conditions, which is like oversight, basically. I think sometimes you got to stay on top of it. The appellate court hired extra people to help them with all the appeals going on with this. They are issuing 6 decisions every day about whether something is constitutional or not. She said, the act is a horrible statute. I would do my best to work within it because that's what we have right now. I also think we need to band together to get it fixed. We have to fight everything we can to keep them in and appeal it. If a judge lets them out and we think they should be in, we can't appeal that. Quinlan said he believes everyone can agree that the act is a very bad law. It replaced a perfectly good working one. Excuse me. Quinlan said he believes everyone can agree that the act is a very bad law. It replaced a perfectly good working bail system that had been tried and true for centuries. When you talk about making a difference in a county, since we've been under this act, I filed petitions to revoke the pretrial releases of 5 individuals here in Iroquois County that cannot stop picking up new felonies. They are all currently sitting in the Iroquois County Jail. The 7th question, what type of crimes need tougher punishments to deter offenses? Quinlan said Illinois is going in the opposite direction. It's only going to continue, unfortunately, to go in the opposite of that, he said. Nothing that he believes the state needs to reinstate the death penalty. There's plenty of defendants in the state that shouldn't meet the penalty. Sullivan agreed that the death penalty should be brought back. As most of you know, we have somebody sitting in Kankakee Jail who killed a police officer for no reason. And the fact that he can't get the death penalty just turns my stomach. He shot a policeman, cold blood, for no other reason than the officer knocked on his door. She said she also believes there are a number of violent sex offenders who should be still locked up. I think there are some ways we can make stiffer penalties, she said. Quinlan said there is a person in Iroquois County Jail who murdered 2 people. That guy should be put to death, Quinlan said. The last question is, what changes, if any, would you make to the way juvenile drug offenders are addressed through the court systems? Sojin said that question is complex. They need treatment, but it's hard to get them treatment. She said, noting that if treatment is obtained, the parents are not always supportive. I don't know that I would change the statute, but in juvenile court, you have to be a team. You have to work with probation and police and the family and try to get them service, she said. Juvenile justice is a hard road to walk. Lots of things to figure out. Lots of things to balance. I do think, again, we don't have a lot of treatment options. Quinlan said he didn't have anything to say that was different. Our next story is Iroquois County Woman Contributing to Success of the Area by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. We have an editor's note. March is Women's History Month. These proclamations celebrate the contributions women have made to the United States and recognize the specific achievements women have made over the course of American history in a variety of fields. The Women's History Month website, in honor of many women who contribute to the Iroquois County community, the Times Republic will highlight 6 local women who work in a variety of ways for the betterment of the area. The second is Tammy Berge, a medical legal advocate for the Clove Alliance, who also works at the Arc of Iroquois County Knapp Funeral Home and enjoys being a helper. Tammy Barajas likes to help people. Throughout her life, she has held positions that have allowed her to do just that. In her personal life, she is also helps people whenever she can. Currently, she's a medical legal advocate for Clove Alliance. Clove Alliance was known as Iroquois Sexual Assault Service. She said, "We are still the same place with the same people and the same mission. We just had a rebranding. It's just a new name and a new look. As an advocate, I provide support to victims of sexual violence through the medical process of the legal process. We provide service to their non-offending family members as well." Bargree, works out of Iroquois County in the Waseca office, but also works in the agency's Ford County satellite office. Clove Alliance main office is in Kankakee County. She has worked for Clove Alliance for a little more than 10 years. Most recently, she is approaching her 6-year anniversary with Clove Alliance. She previously had worked for 5 years before taking a break. The agency has gone through some changes, including moving from an office in the Iroquois County Courthouse basement to its present location in Patriot Plaza in Illinois, one in Waseca. It's a more private location for survivors to come, she said. The courthouse in general can be intimidating, and we were able to expand. All departments for Clove Alliance, including the community engagement team, who offers educational programs and counselors, serve the satellite offices. Baraji says, we hope that people never have to use our services, but if they do, or they know someone who does, we just want them to know that we are here and how to get a hold of us. Our services are, and there's a picture of Tammy in her office. It's a very nice picture of her. And she says that they offer free and confidential services. We're just here to make sure survivors know that what their options are and what their rights are, and to walk beside them in their journey, whatever that looks like, from reporting or not reporting. If they need medical service, evidence collection kits, we can go along with them and be there to support them through that. The legal process can be frustrating and confusing, and it can go on for months, if not years. We attend court with them or for them and report back what's going on with their case. Bridie said the Clove Alliance job came to me. She was born and raised in Iroquois County, graduating from Sheldon High School. She was gone for about 8 years with the Coast Guard, living on both coasts. She then moved back to Iroquois County, and her children graduated from Waseca Community High School. She worked at the Ford Iroquois County Public Health Department with a social service program. I had a committee of community members who sat on the support team for my program, she said. The administrator of ISAS at that time sat on my team. I was approached by her when they had an opening position for an advocate in Iroquois County. So here I am. She said the job can be heavy at times. She stepped away for about 3 years so she could focus on some things in her own life. I needed to refill my glass, she said, but my heart was here, and I realized in that time, being gone, how much the job gives me, she said. Clove Alliance is important to the area, she said, as it provides a service to an underserved part of the community. There are so many obstacles that survivors or their families face being in a rural area, she said. Noting that transportation is one of those obstacles, I feel that especially in these small towns and our rural areas, the importance of networking and being connected to other agencies and other people in general is important. We make so many referrals when someone comes and seeking help. There may be sexual abuse or sexual assault, but more than likely, they have multiple other needs. Being connected in the small community, we know how to provide these services. These other services, or who can reach out to that, will know that this person can get some help. I feel like that is the importance here. Not just what we are providing to our survivors, but the referrals in the community. Baraji said when she first started working for the agency, funding was not as good as it is now. They had to conduct fundraisers. I feel like through those fundraising efforts, so much awareness came about from those events. For the people who participated and those who attended, those connections have been irreplaceable as an advocate. Clove Alliance provide so many services, she said, which are free and confidential. The counseling services, she said, are vital to the survivors. Their abuse or assault doesn't have to be an active case in court. It could have been from years ago, so people can have our services no matter when their abuse was. It goes on for their lifetime, she said. Outreach education programs are important for future generations, she said. In years past, sexual violence wasn't talked about as much. Now it seems the kids from kindergarten on are getting that message, that it is okay to use your voice. It's okay to say no. They know our name or that someone is out there from the different programs they do in the schools. It's just as important support service to the people of their community. Clove Alliance has a SART, Sexual Assault Response Team. We meet quarterly. That is all the entities that may provide services during the reporting or investigation of sexual abuse, from the prosecutor to the law enforcement to DCFS, the hospitals, the Child Advocacy Center. We meet quarterly to make sure everyone knows any new laws that have been about, to work together to make sure we are providing the best services to our survivors and their families, and make sure nothing has fallen through the cracks. Kankakee has always had a SART team. Iroquois County has had one for about 6 years, and Ford County, we just started one about a year ago. I'm very proud to be a part of that team. We all work together. Raja says she loves being from Iroquois County and living here. Iroquois County raised me, she said. I did have the opportunity to move away. I never felt like I didn't have the opportunity when I grew up here. I think you don't always know what else is out there until you do leave. My kids, through the military experience, were able to learn to live independently and get to know people outside of the people you had to know and see what else is out there. The world is an amazing place, and it has so much to offer. But Iroquois County is home. Some of the benefits of being from a small town in small community are knowing who your people are and having those connections and support. When you live far away, you don't always know your community that well, and they don't know you. I always say living here, you can have a flat tire, and I guarantee somebody's going to stop, and you're probably going to know who they are and somehow be connected to them. She said her children had the opportunity to attend larger schools with more offerings, but that doesn't always translate as being able to participate in those activities because there are more people vying for those schools. I feel like my kids got a wonderful education here. All of my kids are adults now, and they all left, but two of them have returned to raise their families here. She said there are so many different agencies and activities to be involved with if people want. Brady said she also works at the ARC of Illinois County. I think we have the gem of the ARC. They provide services for people with disabilities. They care and support they provide to those they serve. It's wonderful. They are always looking for volunteers. Iroquois Memorial Hospice, which I have worked for in the past, again, providing amazing services here. I am still a hospice volunteer, a fundraising and visiting volunteer. That is near and dear to my heart. She also worked part-time for Knapp Funeral Home, which is also offers a service to the community. We just have so much to offer in this community. If you look for it and take advantage of it, she said. These people are just a phone call away. In my own crisis, in my own emergencies, I had those contacts and those connections I could reach out to. You're not just a number here, which is as in a big city, you might not have those personal connections to walk through those crises with you. And I like to be that person for others, no matter what their crisis or need is. I just like to help. It brings me joy to be able to support someone through their crisis. That's what I do as an advocate. I just offer options and hope and walk through the journey with someone. The 24-hour hotline for Clove Alliance is 815-932-322. Find out more about Clove Alliance at clovealliance.org or on social media. And now, the obituaries. James H. Dietman, 65, Earl Park, passed away unexpectedly on Monday, March 4th, 2024 at St. Vincent Hospital of Indianapolis. He was born February 24, 1959 in Waseca, Illinois, to the late John and Joanne Griffiths. Friends may call from 4 to 7 on March 8th at St. Joseph Catholic Church of Kentland, Mass, of Christian burial officiated by Francis Sean Aaron and Master Sergeant Robert Sell, who was held will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 9th, also at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Interment will follow in St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery in Kentland. Memorial contributions may be made in Jim's name to Riley Hospital for Children. Please share memories and condolences online at www.clapperfuneralservices.com. Delilah Virginia Brotnan Beck Davis, age 83, passed away peacefully on February 26, 2024, after a short battle with cancer. Her daughter Elizabeth and son-in-law Gregory Storm by her side. She is survived by siblings, by several siblings. Tab J. Eimer, born July 1st, 1973 in Marion. Tab was the first of three children of Ellen Horn Eimer and Ron Eimer. He died March 1st, 2024. A memorial gathering for a close family and friends will be held at a later date. Contributions and Tab's memory may be made to your favorite charity. Joseph R. Simmons, 89, of Monticello, passed away peacefully at his home, surrounded by his loving family, on Monday, January 15, 2024. Iroquois County women take part in Emerging Women Leaders Conference. Women from around the state traveled to Springfield for the 2024 statewide Emerging Women Leaders Conference recently. Angela Crawford, Executive Director of the Illinois County Economic Development Association, and Maddie Hansen, owner of Hansen Family Meats in Danford, were honored by State Representative Jason Bunning and the Illinois House of Republican Caucus to receive recognition at the conference, according to information provided. The EWL conference scheduled featured a brunch, a listening session, a tour of the Capitol, and presentation titled Own Your Power. These sessions provide valuable opportunities for networking, collaboration, and personal growth. These remarkable up-and-coming women were identified as women to watch for their exemplary leadership and dedication to their communities. Both Crawford and Hansen said they are thankful for this amazing honor and opportunity to meet so many amazing women leaders from this great state of Illinois. Crescent Iroquois firefighters and other agencies responded to hazmat spill at post office. One person was taken to the hospital to be checked after a hazmat spill and delivery truck at the Crescent City Post Office in the morning of March 9th. Crescent Iroquois Fire Chief Scott Dirk said that the department received the call at 7:35 a.m. for a report of a light haze and something leaking out of the back of a Davis Mill delivery truck. When firefighters arrived, it was determined that an emergency response team should be notified. Division 7 of Hazmat from Kankakee was called. He said they found that a gallon of jug of amutric acid in a cardboard box had tipped over and the lid was broken. He said the acid was reacting inside the truck and dripping on the concrete and reacting to the concrete as well. Dirk said the truck driver indicated he had been a member of the post office and everything was fine, but when he got to Crescent City, opened the truck when he got a big smell of the acid and it knocked him over with a light haze in the back. So when they called the fire department, the driver was having a hard time breathing. So we did take him to IMH to be checked out. When he opened that up, he got a pretty good whiff of it, Dirk said. The responding agencies were on the scene until about noon. The hazmat teams worked to get the area cleaned up. The hazmat team diluted everything that was on the floor, and they doubled the containers and muriatic acid separate barrels, and everything else that was in there they put in another barrel to separate it. He said Dirk said the post office was going to take care of any other cleaning that might need to be done to the truck. Waseca Fire and Crescent EMS also responded. There is a picture included of the fire trucks and everything. And this concludes my reading for today. I am Cheryl Walker, and I want you to have a great afternoon. This is from reading from the Iroquois County Times-Republic. Have a great afternoon. Cheryl Walker signing off.